Hi, I enjoy long walks on the beach and hate Italian food, Taylor.
And I'm rising from my dark slumber to check my emails, Jemmy. And this is the Final Girl Files. This week, for our final Halloween movie of the year, we watched 2000's Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire, directed by Steve Buyum, featuring Matt O'Leary, Laura Vandervoot, who some of our listeners may recognize as Anna from Jigsaw, Miles Jeffrey, Caroline, well, they probably won't recognize her, so she's young in this, but Caroline Rhea, Charles Shaughnessy, and Robert, ooh, I can't read that, Carradine? Carradine, there we go.
Carradine.
One of the DCOMs that I did not grow up with, but that Taylor did.
But I did. I have a strong connection to this film. Let me tell you about my passions.
That's what this podcast is for, Taylor.
God, I love this film.
Trigger warnings, child endangerment.
Yeah, that's all I can really think of.
That's all I got.
There's like one line that's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
But it's
from the 2000s.
Yeah. Also, wait, no, I feel like we probably should trigger warn for the fact that like most of the plot of this movie revolves around the main child boy tricking all of the various women in his family into going on dates so that he can get things from creepy men.
Yes, oh my god. Child
the way he does this to two different women in his family. We'll talk about it.
Taylor, what are your memories of this movie? Because I feel like it's going to be a lot more. Actually, let me get mine out of the way real quick, because I feel like yours is going to be extensive. I watched this movie for the first time today with my roommates Jamie and Shelby, and we had a good time.
Yeah.
Yep. So Taylor, what are your memories of this movie?
Listeners, I'm going to take you back.
Oh boy. Right.
Long, long ago, to the early 2000s, Disney Channel, around Halloween, and listen, I know this is controversial, but as a 25-year-old woman, I don't watch Disney Channel anymore, so I don't know if they still do this. But when I was a child, Disney Channel used to do this thing called Monstober every Halloween, where they would do all their, you know, spooky DCOMs and all of, you know, they'd play Halloween Town, and which I love Halloween Town.
We all love Halloween Town.
We all love Halloween Town. But I had a favorite. I love me some Halloween Town, but I had a favorite. And my favorite was Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire. I would plan my day around when they would show Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire, and I would make sure to DVR it, and I would watch it until my mom made me delete it from the DVR so that she could make room for other things on the DVR. I would watch it long past Halloween. I loved this movie, and listeners, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I still think this is a genuinely very good film. Sorry.
You're in a safe space. This is a non-judgmental zone.
I will not be judged for thinking that this movie goes the fuck off. I'm sorry. Like, actually, you know what? I'm not fucking sorry.
Don't be sorry.
If you don't like that I think that this is a really good movie, you can stop listening. I don't want your listenership.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This isn't a podcast for you anymore.
I love this film. I think this is like the platonic ideal of what a kid's movie should be. It's delightful. 10 out of 10.
It is delightful. It's a delightful film. I had a great time watching it. I feel like I am not in the, despite the fact that I'm not in the age demographic for this movie anymore, I thought it was a fun little romp. I had a good time watching it.
Yeah, my feelings on it have certainly changed as I've gotten older, because, like, you know, when you're a kid and you watch a movie like this, you enjoy it in a genuine way. Mm-hmm. And as an adult, even though I watch this movie every Halloween, no shame in the game, I am also very keenly aware that I'm not the target demo for this movie. And listen, it's okay.
It's okay.
You can enjoy things that you're not the target demo for. This movie was made for 10-year-olds, and that's fine.
I mean, I'm a Marvel fan. I know that. Those movies are made for 12-year-old boys. Mostly. Sometimes you get weird stuff. Just plugging here. Call out for Taylor not letting me do another Werewolf by Night episode because it's dropping in color in like 3 days.
It's the same movie.
Yeah, it's got color, though. It's got color, and I'm insane about it now, though.
It would be a very different vibe.
It would be from extremely different episode.
Last year's Werewolf by Night episode. It would.
We've already said it once, and I will say it again. This is the last time I'm going to say it, but it's Halloween, so I'm going to say it. You guys are fucking lucky that we did the Werewolf by Night episode last year. Because this year, it would have just been an hour of me breathing heavily into the mic and Taylor nodding empathetically.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And you're valid for that.
I am valid for that. It's okay. We'll get some of that vibe when we do Reanimator.
Ooh, yes, 100%.
Shall we see what Google has to say about the plot of this movie?
I would love to know what Google has to say about the plot of this movie. The more I wouldn't say this film is obscure, but I would say this is the type of movie that Google would not be correct about.
Well, you're kind of right. The Hansen kids are grounded and must do something to get their mother out of the house in order to be free. They fix her up with a mysterious man, only to realize that he might be a vampire. And that's all they give us.
I like the wording of they must be free.
They must be free.
They need to be freed.
Free them.
Free, literally free them. But don't, because they both kind of suck.
They do both kind of suck.
Both of these kids are kind of awful. The sister is slightly less awful than the brother. The only blameless child is the little one, whose name is Taylor.
His name is Taylor. I thought that was funny.
His name is Taylor.
Yeah, he's the only one here who's, like, doing anything useful. The other two are just fucking around and trying their best but not getting anywhere.
I will say, though, the main kid in this movie is very Richie Tozier-coded.
Oh, he's so Richie Tozier-coded. He's
really Richie Tozier-coded. Oh, and if you know what I mean, you know what I mean.
Oh, but he is.
Yeah.
Can I make a bold statement?
Bold and controversial? Please do.
Heterosexual Richie Tozier.
Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah. That's the character. For anyone who knows, anyone who's in the know, you know. Heterosexual Richie Tozier.
If you know, you know. And if you don't, I'm sorry.
And if you don't, go watch It 2017. Jesus Christ, where have you been for the past, like, oh, God. It's been, like,
6 years.
Ugh.
Let that sink in.
I don't like that. Hey, Taylor, I don't like that. I really don't like that.
I'm sorry.
I don't like that at all. Let's talk about something else.
Let's talk about the plot of this film.
Let's talk about something else beside the slow march of time.
We always come back here.
The slow but inevitable march of time.
Mm-hmm. So this film revolves around a terrible boy, and his name is Adam Hansen.
Adam.
And he has... Adam! Stop! You're gonna get in trouble! He's, like, 13, and he sucks shit. He's literally the worst. I love this movie. This kid is terrible.
I mean, granted, what boy doesn't suck shit at 13?
That's true. He has a best friend named Duffy. And they have the kid who bullies them is named Boomer.
I love the names of children in like 80s through 2000s children's movies.
Yeah,
this movie has a very like Monster Squad energy. I feel like,
oh, right down to the opening, which is an inexplicably like pitch perfect Hammer horror parody.
Yeah,
like. Why do the first 5 minutes of this movie, like, it could be a Hammer movie.
The first 5 minutes of this movie are a movie that I would like to watch.
I really want to watch The Revenge of Count Krowski. I do. Christopher Lee would have played that role.
Christopher Lee would have ate that role for lunch.
Yes, he would have. And it would have been so good. But unfortunately, this is a pretend movie inside of the movie that our horrible boy protagonist is watching. Along with his younger brother, Taylor, who we've mentioned, who is hiding behind the couch because he's scared.
Bless.
This is one of the cutest kids.
Adorable child.
Who
truly.
Has ever been in a film. He's so cute.
He's so
little. I love this kid. He's so whittle. He's not that good of an actor. But you know when a kid actor is so cute that it doesn't matter
They're
not that good of an actor?
It literally
he's just
doesn't
so
matter.
Cute.
He's just adorable. I just want to pinch his little cheeks.
He's the biggest brown eyes. I love him. I love this child. And also he's the only member of his trio of siblings, like we said, that doesn't suck shit.
Yeah.
The third sibling, the oldest sibling, is Chelsea. And I would say that she's the worst of the three in terms of acting.
Oh, yeah. In terms of acting, for sure. She's...
In terms of acting, definitely.
Although she's got nothing on Duffy, I'll tell you that.
In terms of moral fiber, I would say Adam takes the cake and as being the worst, for reasons we will go into. But, yeah, her acting's not great. Duffy is also very bad.
He's not great. He's really not good.
For those who have not seen this movie, I'm trying to, like, think of how, like, this kid delivers lines. He's, like, he kind of delivers lines as if he's a little high.
Yeah.
He's, like,
despite the fact he's, like, 12.
He's, like, I had no idea. Like, I don't know. It's hard to imitate.
It's a strange vibe. It's a very strange vibe.
Like, they'll ask him a question. He'll be, like, yeah, I didn't really know. It's very strange. Strange vibe.
People are very strange these days.
Don't quote The Room.
If I can't quote The Room on my own goddamn fucking podcast, where can I?
That's true. These three children are the children of MILF.
Yes.
Her name is Lynette, and she is played by Caroline Rhea from Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh, that's why she looked familiar.
Yes, she is Aunt Hilda, I believe, on Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And she is awesome.
She's
amazing.
I love her. She's easily like the most likable character in the movie.
Caroline Rhea is an incredibly underrated comedian, and she just delivers in this movie. She has perfect comedic timing, perfect, like, tired, divorced mom energy.
Mm-hmm.
She knows when to be silly and when to play things straight, and it never feels corny. She has a very, like, naturalistic vibe. I just love her. I think she's great.
Yeah, she's great. She is great.
And it helps that, I mean, I'll get into this. This is one of the reasons why I just really love this movie as an adult, but she's written so well in a way that a character like this is usually not afforded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that, especially in, like, the scenes before she goes out on the date with Dimitri, she's, like, realistically freaking out and being like, I can't do this. Like, I've been divorced, and the part of my life where I date guys is over. And you really do kind of feel for her.
I love her. I also love the bit where she goes into Adam's room because she thinks that she's going to have, like, a big parental talk with him about the fact that their dad is getting remarried. And Adam immediately is like, no, yeah, Dad already told me that he's getting remarried. Something about the way that she plays that scene is so, like, heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's like... It's
like, oh,
like,
I'm the only one who doesn't know that my ex-husband is getting remarried. I'm the only one who's having trouble dealing with that also. Mm-hmm. My kids are fine with it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, she revs up for this speech where she's like, you know, sometimes when people get divorced, they meet someone new and they get remarried. Like, she's gonna have to explain this concept, but Adam's totally down with it.
Yeah.
Adam gets in trouble at school because he doesn't do his homework, and then he rolls up with, like, a magazine that is essentially, like, the National Enquirer.
Yeah.
And reads an article about, and say it with me, folks,
Malachi Van Helsing.
Why is it that every version of Van Helsing
has a different name?
Yeah, they try to... It's like Abraham is lame. We need to give him a cool name.
Abraham Van Helsing is a pretty cool fucking name, but it's always, like... I think the thing is, right, that they want to cast, like, a younger guy as Van Helsing. The trope of Van Helsing. Like, mm-hmm. Hugh Jackman, or, like, even this guy. This guy's not super, like, he's middle-aged, but, like...
I mean, this guy also, like, I knew him from being the dad from Lizzie McGuire.
Yeah, everyone was saying that in the Letterboxd reviews. Can I just say really quick, the thing about me, right, as as a child is that I was very sheltered, and my parents mm-hmm. did not want me watching like mainstream television for a long time. So I was mostly like relegated to PBS Kids, and that was it. So I did not have like the childhood growing up with like DCOMs or like this kind of thing. So it's a little bit like I got to do it later on when I was like a teenager, but I did not like grow up with these movies or with like Lizzie McGuire or anything like that. And I feel like that's important context.
Yeah, you weren't watching these when you were the age to have been the target demo.
Yeah, I was like a little bit off of this one. Like I remember watching, like I watched Halloween Town when I was a kid, and I watched Halloween Town 2 and Halloween Town High, but I was like barely in the target demographic for those movies.
Yeah, the other thing too is that like Lizzie McGuire I didn't like as a kid. I found it obnoxious and I never watched it. So I mostly know this guy from this movie.
Right.
To me, I'm like, yeah, it's the guy from Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire.
Yeah, it's Malachi Van Helsing.
Yeah, and he is. So yeah, Adam reads this article about Malachi Van Helsing, and the teacher is like, you read that from, what is it called, The Weekly Secret?
Yeah, something like that.
And then his friend catches up with him after school and goes, oh, I heard you got in trouble for reading an article from the week. I'm not going to do the voice the whole time, but it's so, you guys don't understand.
Yeah, this kid, something was going on with this kid.
Something, to put it lightly, something was going on with this child. But then his friend Duffy tells him that he got them tickets, backstage passes for a band called the Headless Horsemen.
Yes, men, plural.
I would like to listen to that band's music. I want to watch The Return of Count Krelski, and I want to listen to music by the Headless Horsemen.
I bet they fucking rule.
I bet they fucking rule. I bet they sound great. They sound like a really good like a Rob Zombie, like, yeah, early 2000s, like a horror themed new metal kind of situation. Yes. Yes. He gets in trouble because he failed his homework assignment, and his mom is like, you can't go see the concert. And then something happens that, I mean, you have siblings.
Yes.
I'm sure this also happened to you, where mm-hmm. your sibling is getting in trouble for something, and you are being a fucking smart aleck about it, and mom or dad is like, you know what? Now you're in trouble too.
Yep. All too often.
That shit used to happen to me and my sister all the time when we were kids.
All too often. I had two of them.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what happens to Chelsea. And so now she can't go on a date. Oh no, she can't go on a date with her boyfriend, Peter.
Peter. She calls him Peter. She calls him Peterhead later on at one point. And it's like, what the fuck kind of nickname for a boyfriend is that?
Peterhead. Peterhead. Hey, Peterhead.
Hey, can I say something really quick about this movie? I was so brave and so good sitting through a movie with this many wolf howl sound effects and not making a single joke. I was so brave and so good, and I deserve a sticker. Anyway.
You deserve a sticker that shades like a gold star.
I do. Didn't make a dumb Blurbo joke.
So brother and sister decide to team up, and they have a plan, and that plan is, if we set mom up on a date, then she won't be around, and we can go out and do our stuff.
And in order to set her up on the date...
This is phenomenal.
And y'all ready to go back? Y'all take my hand, everybody. We're going back.
We're stepping into the time machine, guys. To the year of our Lord 2000.
They check the personal ads in the newspaper, all mm-hmm. of which have email addresses for men that are putting out personal ads.
Yep. I wrote this line down because it had me on the floor laughing. Adam says, excuse me, Chelsea, but isn't this the 21st century? Every guy in here has an email address. Fucking fantastic. No notes.
Beautiful, beautiful. God bless them.
They need to remake this movie, but they make their mom a Tinder profile.
Please.
That's all I want.
Also, to be noted, our titular vampire puts out, like, the single most vampire-sounding fucking ad you can possibly imagine. It's so fucking good.
And what's his email?
Wolfsbane something at this is a whole full like goth
thing. Yeah, it's like fuck, I know it's Wolfsbane, but it's like Wolfsbane at like darkmoonnight.net or some shit.
Really good.
It's so good.
Also, so there's a joke later on that all the good vampire ones are taken by teenagers.
Yeah, it's very good. So they spend a little while going through the personal ads before they're like, we vibe with this Wolfsbane guy, even though he is so clearly a fucking vampire. So they shoot him an email, and then we get the best shot in the film.
The best sequence in the entire film.
Just beautiful ornate coffin, the year 2000 PC computer on a desk next
directly next to it.
Coffin opens, hand in puffy shirt reaches out and clicks on the email, and of course it's you've got mail because it's the year 2000. This movie for the nostalgia, if nothing else.
This entire sequence should be studied in film schools.
And then Charles Shaughnessy's evil laugh, which he will do multiple times in this film. Can I just say, I know I said Caroline Rhea was putting her entire pussy into this, but Charles Shaughnessy deserves
an Oscar.
He deserves so many, like, awards for just having the most fun anytime he's on screen. He is not just chewing the scenery, he is chewing it like gum and spitting it out and putting it back in. Like, oh, he's killing it.
The time of his life, truly. So they agree to meet him at the grocery store, right?
This is so weird, by the way.
Yeah, like, this is insane. Their plan to like meet up with their like meet their mom up with this guy is nuts.
And also, like, I understand that they're children, but also, like, any adult man who would receive a letter from two children
being like, we want to set you up on a date with our mom.
Don't tell her.
And don't tell her.
Do not tell her.
Well, he is a vampire.
He is a vampire, but also,
he is
like,
doing all of this for freak reasons.
Any adult man who would be like, yeah, let's do it, I'll meet you at the grocery store in an hour, is not to be trusted. Do not trust this man.
Because they're either a vampire or a pedophile. Or perhaps a sex trafficker. I don't know.
Yeah, your mom is definitely going to get sold to somebody. So they trick their mom into going to the supermarket. It's all decked out for Halloween. It's very cute.
I love all of the, like, old Halloween decorations.
Yeah, the, like, 90s, like, paper decorations.
So good.
This scene also, pinnacle of comedy, where they're walking around the grocery store talking, like, walking up to random middle-aged men and being like, do you like Italian food? Guy is putting a box of pasta into his grocery cart.
I have a note in my notebook that simply says, lowercase, yeah, that's a tailor man. Because I saw Van Helsing, yeah. And I think, you know, the movie sets it up to trick you into thinking he's the vampire, right?
Yes. Because, you know, you see Van Helsing walking around looking all mysterious, and
yeah.
Then even the kids are like, that must be the guy, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and like, we all know there's a vampire in this movie. It's called Mom's Gonna Date with a Vampire. But then, a few notes down.
Oh, man.
All caps. No. That's a Taylor man.
And it is.
And it is.
It fucking
and
is.
And it is. And it is.
Mom and vampire have a fucking meet cute. They accidentally ram their shopping carts together. He's wearing what I can only describe as a 90s dreamboat fit.
Mm-hmm.
It's blue button down, like half unbuttoned white shirt underneath.
Uh-huh. Really good stuff. Really good stuff.
It's a lot on my spirit.
Really good stuff. Really great stuff.
But he's like totally chill and normal and charming.
Yeah.
And he's delightful. And he's like, by the way, at this point, they don't think he's Wolfsbane, right?
Yeah, no.
And they just, so, like, Adam is like, we gotta get mom over to the guy that we set her up with. And the way that Chelsea delivers this line baffles me.
Uh-huh.
She goes, no, mom's making a love connection. Like, what?
Insane.
You're 14 and that's your mother. You know, as a 14-year-old, there was nothing I loved more than watching
my mother
flirt.
Yeah. It's the pinnacle of romance, really.
Yeah. We all love that. Yeah. And so then, you know, he's like, I don't mean to be forward, but do you want to go out to dinner with me tomorrow? And the kids answer for her. Mm-hmm. And the restaurant they go to is called Renfield's.
Renfield's. We all, the whole room just, ah.
It's really good. Also, another thing that I wanted to say that I loved is that he tells her that he's an ER doctor specializing in trauma, which is kind of the perfect excuse for only being able to go out at night.
Like, oh, it is.
He's like, I sleep during the day because I work nights at the ER. And it's like, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. Why don't vampires use that excuse?
And also, I live in a creepy old house because I'm an antiques guy and I'm restoring the house. Like, this all makes complete sense to me.
Why don't more vampires use the doctor thing? Like, the only one I can think of off the top of my head is Carlisle from Twilight, and he doesn't even, like, he doesn't even do it
because he needs to work nights.
They're
he
not even nocturnal. Those bitches just sparkle. They don't burn. They're not nocturnal.
Why is mom's got a date with a vampire the only bitches doing this? So then the scene that we discussed earlier where mom is having an anxiety attack before her date. So real.
She's just so like real. Me for real.
And then they go on their little date.
Yep.
And Adam basically like makes a deal because his friend Duffy.
We all know Duffy.
Duffy gave his tickets to the high schooler who bullies them. I love that kids in movies, by the way, are always getting bullied by high schoolers. Is this a thing that happens to boys that didn't happen to me?
I don't know, because high schoolers did not give a single flying fuck about me.
Yeah. Like, hey, boy listeners, reach out. Listeners,
can you, like, weigh in on this?
Is this a thing that happened to you? Were you bullied by a high schooler? Write in and let us know. Our email is in the show notes. But basically he makes a deal with the bully kid that Duffy gave the tickets to, where he's like, I know you have a crush on my sister. I'll let you take her out on a date if you give me the tickets back.
And it's like, hey, maybe let's consult the sister about that first. Just an idea. Just a thought.
I literally wrote a note that just said, wild how this kid is pimping out his sister for concert tickets.
Your fave is problematic.
Yeah, for real. So mom and vampire go out to dinner. They seem to be having a great time, except for the fact that he screams no when the waiter offers them garlic bread.
Sir, just, like, wear a sign around your neck that says, I am a vampire. He's out here, like, dropping the I don't drink wine stuff. He does. Are you, like, a real vampire in a kid's movie unless you drop Children of the Night at some point?
Which he does. The littlest brother, Taylor, sees Dimitri turn into a bat. Back at the grocery store. So now he's like, I gotta call Malachi Van Helsing. So he does. He calls Malachi Van Helsing, who just, you know, shows up at the house.
That fucking babysitter, man. Like,
Tiffany? I love her.
Hey, Tiffany, if a strange man shows up at the fucking house you're babysitting for, don't let him in. Don't let the little kid let him in.
I love that her only response to this is, can you leave? He needs to go to bed.
Like, instead of calling the cops.
So then Taylor's like, I think mom's got a date with a vampire. And
it's
so
the title of the movie.
The title of the movie. And so Adam and Chelsea take him to the restaurant. And here comes the spoon test, which rules.
Oh, my God. The spoon test scene is so, like, genuinely kind of cute and charming.
It's,
I'm like, wow,
so cute. It's adorable.
It's such a shame that he's actually a vampire.
It is so delightful the way that he, like, this is like he's just gentle parenting this child.
He is.
But for those who have not seen the film, basically what happens is Dimitri's like, well, we all, like, he starts goofing and he's like, well, we have to prove to him that I'm not a vampire. So the way that we do that is that we'll do the spoon test where, like, a vampire could never balance a spoon on the end of his nose. And it's, you know, it's very cute.
Yeah. It's very sweet.
So then they're like, oh, gee, I guess he's not a vampire. So they go to leave. And then literally as they're leaving, Adam looks into a mirror on the way out and notices that Dimitri does not have a reflection, so that he immediately, like, shits a brick and is like, Chelsea, we have a problem.
Hey, girl, guess what? He's a vampire.
Meanwhile, while all of this is happening, we just get a little, like, buddy side quest with little boy Taylor and Malachi Van Helsing.
Yes, it's very sweet.
Which is really cute. I love the bit where they're in the car and Van Helsing goes, now if you wanted to go dancing, where would you go? And Taylor just goes, I don't know, I'm 8. I love it. So good.
I do love that this movie about, like, halfway through just becomes Dimitri the vampire being dragged against his will to, like, a rockabilly dance hall and then the harvest festival.
Oh my god, I love the rockabilly club scene. It's, this is delightful.
So fucking funny.
So they mentioned earlier in the movie that the mom used to sing in a rockabilly band, which, like, slay queen. We love a woman with passions.
Truly.
So then he's like, we should go dancing. And she's like, we should go to this rockabilly club. He is so annoyed the entire time.
There, it shows it. It shows them on the dance floor. And he is just getting, like, flung around by this woman. Just, like, he is hating it.
He's hating it. And then, so in an effort to get the two of them away from each other, Adam basically tells the band performing. They're like, oh, yeah, that's the, I guess she was like a minor local celebrity, because they're immediately like, OMG, Lynette Hansen is here, we gotta get her on stage to sing a song. And then Caroline Rhea sings a song.
I will say, if somebody did this to me, I would kill them.
Yeah, me too.
If somebody was like, oh my god, Lynette Hansen's here, you should get her up and sing, and they tried to make me get up and sing, I'd fucking kill them in front of everyone and change the trajectory of their lives forever.
I also love the bouncer who clearly, like, has had a crush on her.
Yes.
Since he was a teen. He's like, he's like, you want me to, because Adam's like, that guy over there is stalking my mom. And he's like, would you do something about it? And he goes, for Lynette Hansen, I'd do anything.
Really good.
Me too. I also love her. She's awesome. And then she drags him to the Harvest Festival, which is a carnival, and makes him go on all the stupid rides, and he's hating it, and she's having so much fun.
I just love that this, like, very stereotypically, like, classy vampire who clearly was, like, planning on taking this woman on, like, a romantic, seductive date just gets fucking dragged into a rockabilly dance club and the Harvest Festival.
The thing that I love, too, is that the bit, not to go back, but, like, back at the restaurant, he does this weird thing where he's doing the, like, I guess the, like, you could call it, like, the Gary Oldman Dracula, like, the, like, I see a fire burning within you.
Yes.
He's trying to, like, be a sexy, seductive vampire, and she's giving him this look like, okay.
Yeah.
She's reacting to it like a normal-ass lady would. It's awesome.
Oh, that comes back later, too, because he tries to do it again when they're at the Harvest Festival.
Yes.
I forget what the actual, like, dialogue is, but she's like, we've known each other for one night. This is just the first date. Like, what are you talking? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Well, yeah, like, we're talking about forever, Lynette. And she's like, I don't think this is going to work out between us.
It's really good. It's
so funny.
I love it. And I love the bit where she says to him, I feel like I've met an old friend, someone I haven't seen in a long time. And he says, well, of course you do. That's the depth of our connection. And she goes, no, I'm talking about
myself. Yeah.
I just love that this woman is having like a post-divorce, like Stella's got her groove back, self-actualization evening.
Good for her. Good for her.
Again, it's the kind of like depth that is not usually afforded to like the victim mom character in a kids monster movie.
Yeah.
She's rediscovering herself. She's a whole person.
And good for her.
Good for her. Of course, this is the moment where things immediately go badly because he's like, okay, if you won't come with me willingly, I'm just going to kidnap you and put you in a vampire trance and she's
bring you back to my scary house.
Scary house. And then, he intimidates the shit out of Adam. This is when he says the thing about how all the good vampire usernames were taken by teenagers, which I like. I like that also he says, like, what are you going to do? You're a 12-year-old. And he's like, I'm 13. And he's like, and I'm a vampire.
And I'm a vampire.
It's really good. And then, so he takes the mom back to his scary old house. They follow him there in a cab. Which rules.
Really good.
And then they're like, hey, vampires can't cross running water. What if we just threw his coffin into the lake next to the house?
Out the window and into the...
really, God. Really good. This is also the part where Adam says, coffin is to vampire what remote control is to teenager.
Oh, it was remote control. Okay. Because we were having a discussion, right, this entire time. When they're at the Harvest Festival, they steal, like, a couple of walkie-talkies. And I was like, oh, wow, yeah, this is back when they didn't have cell phones. For some reason, I thought that when they were talking about the remote, they were talking, they said cell phone.
No, they do. Sorry, I'm looking back at my notes. What? This is so silly. But the thing is, this is how many times I've watched this stupid movie. So the story that Adam tells is that one time he stole Chelsea's cell phone to piss her off. So to make him give her back the cell phone, she took the TV remote.
Right.
So they're saying the mom is the cell phone.
Yes.
And the coffin is the TV remote. So they're going to take his coffin and throw it out in the middle of the lake. Which, by the way, when he comes out to the lake and Adam is just sitting on the coffin.
Really good.
Yeah, just floating.
We have another piece of vampire media that's just really centric around the box of dirt.
Yeah, box of dirt, very important.
We love an important box of dirt. Shout out to
that's essential to vampire lore.
Shout out to my Dracula Daily girlies.
Is this the only thing besides Dracula AD 1972 that, like mainstream thing? I can't think of another one that brings up the running water thing.
Dracula AD 1972 does not bring it up. It just happens, and we're supposed to remember that.
I mean, it doesn't really bring it up so much as a man dies in a shower and we're expected to make the connection that it was because there is running water in a shower.
Greatest
movie ever made.
Yeah, truly. I don't watch a lot of vampire media, but I'm not thinking of anything like off the top of my head.
If you guys can think of any vampire media that does that brings up the vampires can't cross running water thing, send that to us, because I feel like no one ever talks about this.
James and Rio, we know you're out there and you watch a lot of vampire stuff.
Yeah.
This is a question mainly for James and Rio.
So then he basically is like, I'm going to kill your sister if you don't give me back my coffin. Or I guess not kill her. This is the thing about this movie, is that this movie is very ambiguous about what exactly Dimitri intends to do with his victims.
Yeah, I always thought it was sort of he says that she'll make a fine vampire princess, which, like, hey, I know everyone who watches vampire media makes this joke, but, like, I want to be a vampire princess.
Don't we all want to be a lovely vampire princess?
I want to be a lovely vampire princess. When is it? This bitch is ungrateful. When's it my turn?
Literally, when is it my turn to be happy? Yeah, like, I feel like the movie, like, flip-flops because the kids act like their mom is going to die. Mm-hmm. Like, Chelsea says to Adam, she's like, even if we don't have mom anymore, we're still a family, okay? Like, they're acting like she is going to die.
But what is being posited is, like, she's going to just, like, be Dimitri's vampire bride forever. Which I guess is kind of like dying.
I guess also, like, they just wouldn't see. She would, like, wouldn't be around, I guess.
Yeah. I don't think that guy's playing child support.
It's always hard to parse this kind of stuff in media where they aren't allowed to say the word die or kill.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if the goal is to kill these people, they can't say it.
Yeah.
So it's all very ambiguous. Whatever his plans are, it's not good. He basically is like, I'm gonna kill your mom and your sister unless you give me back my coffin. And your guess is as good as mine about how Adam gets that coffin back to land.
Rowing.
I wish that they hadn't cut to commercial.
Yeah, truly. Like,
I wish we could have just watched question. This kid paddle.
Answer the fucking question.
Malachi Van Helsing and Taylor crash the party.
Yes.
And then 14 years before Frozen.
14 years before Frozen.
True love breaks the spell, but it's
familial love. True love.
And the mom's trance is broken by the love of her children, and
she beats his ass.
I love that she gets to be the one to fucking beat his ass.
Good for her. Good for her.
And again, because this is also a Disney Channel movie, they can't kill him.
Yeah, they can't kill him, so they just lock him in the coffin.
They lock him in the coffin. And Malachi Van Helsing is like, I'm going to send it to Finland where it's always sunny.
Now he's Finland's problem.
Yeah. The sequel will take place in Finland.
This is just like...
I will fund it.
This is just like Interview with a Vampire.
How so?
Putting him in the coffin, but it won't kill him. I don't know. I'm making a joke here, Taylor. Can you just play with me in the space?
You think he'll get to eat some big fucking rats the size of Kevin Durant's sneakers?
Yeah, I do, Taylor. I really do.
My favorite thing is that, like, again, they can't kill him, so they lock him in the coffin. And during the, like, most of the, like, ending, like, they're talking, and you just hear him, like, banging on the coffin and being
pathetically,
like, let me out, please.
Very Haunted Mansion.
It is very Haunted Mansion, even over the credits. And over the credits, he goes, Happy Halloween!
Yes, and there's a freeze frame. It ends in a freeze frame, because of course it does.
Because it's a DCOM.
Because it's a DCOM.
Man. It's kind of implied at the end that mom might end up with Malachi Van Helsing, but it's ambiguous.
They're cute. I thought they're cute. Like, honestly, they had some chemistry in those, like, few minutes. Like, genuine chemistry in those few minutes. So, like, you know what? Good for her.
And we already know that she and her kids have an aptitude for fighting vampires. I would like this. Here's my pitch for the sequel.
Go for it.
Guys, the writer's strike is over. We can start pitching sequels again. Finally. Okay. So. My pitch for the sequel. The family is, like, the kids are all grown up. Mm-hmm. Mom and Malachi Van Helsing are married. And they've been, like, a family of vampire hunters.
Yes.
For the last 20 odd years or whatever. Dimitri escapes Finland somehow. By eating big fucking rats the size of Kevin Durant's sneakers, yes. And then they have to fight him again. But I think it would be cool if the whole family was getting in on the vampire hunting business. Because Malachi Van Helsing's whole thing is that he's so lonely and sad. He lives in hotels and he doesn't have a mommy who packs sandwiches for him.
Amazing.
And also, he's been through a lot. He deserves to be a house husband making sandwiches for his family while they go fight vampires.
He does. He does. Good for him.
Good for him. Hey guys, I love this film.
I had a delightful time watching this. I had a delightful, spooky Halloween time watching this movie.
And I'm fully aware that my love of this movie is pretty colored by the fact that I was really obsessed with it growing up. But also, I mean, you watched it for the first time today, and you liked it.
Yeah, I liked it. It's a good movie. It's a hey, fun, adults. You could do so much fucking worse than this movie.
Hey, adults, it's not going to be for you, but it will be fun for you. So,
and it's without, a delight. Listen, if you want to like sit down and just like revisit your childhood, watch a DCOM, like this one in Halloween Town.
Yeah, this one's pretty good, and not this just because of the DILF,
but a lot because also of the DILF Taylor.
Also obligatory.
You need him coward. Biblically. You need him in a way that's concerning to feminism, etc.
Yeah, maybe I do. Maybe I do.
Makes you feel like that fountain in Disneyland. I know.
Once again, I'm a lesbian, but I swing both ways when it's funny, and it involves evil DILFs. Anyway,
and Charles Shaughnessy is fucking hilarious.
God, I loved The Nanny as a child.
Oh, that is Mr. Sheffield. Okay. I'm not totally face blind.
No, you're not.
I could do it once.
Just with Charles Shaughnessy.
Oh, boy. I also loved The Nanny as a childhood, but I, like, never got to watch it because it was always on, like, late at night, and the only time I would watch it was when I was, like, up at some fucking ungodly hour for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah, because it was, like, Nick at Night would play, like, The Nanny and then George Lopez.
Yeah.
And I used to watch those back to back. I also loved George Lopez. I don't know why I loved George Lopez. This, like, the fucking title sequence where they're jumping up and down.
Taylor, was it you that I was just talking to George Lopez to at some point, like fairly recently?
It wasn't.
Oh, it might have been not Shane. Me. I don't know. I just remember I was talking to somebody about that. I don't remember who it was.
You want to read some Letterboxd reviews?
Yeah, please read us some Letterboxd reviews, Taylor.
I do a segment on this podcast called Live Laugh Letterboxd, where I read funny Letterboxd reviews. Our first review is from Ely, who says, "When I watched this movie for the first time, I did not understand that actors could be in more than one thing. So I thought Lizzie McGuire's dad moonlighted as a vampire hunter, and the McGuire family had a tacit agreement to never mention it so as not to blow his cover." 3 stars.
I think that's correct, actually.
Yeah, this is the true canon. Who's going to tell me no? The mouse?
He has never been able to tell me no once in my life.
It's true. Anto says, "Dude yelled no when he was offered garlic bread. Like, come on, bro, be low-key." 3 stars.
Truly, listen, I get it. We're in a children's movie. It has to be obvious that the guy is a vampire, but come on, man.
He screamed.
Come on, man. Just a forceful no is fine.
Spencer says, "You, average 20-something, waking up in the morning in your apartment, taking your phone off of your nightstand, and checking your texts in bed. Me, a suave centuries-old vampire, waking up at night in my huge gothic mansion, opening up my coffin, and checking my email on my 2000 state-of-the-art PC. Jealous? I bet you are."
I bet you fucking are.
3.5 stars.
I bet you fucking are.
Donovan says, "Can it, boomer? Very ahead of its time." 2 stars. This next review was so out of pocket.
Okay.
And I cannot help but admire the audacity of it.
Oh, please.
I don't know why anyone would say this, but I do agree. It's not a take I would have thought of, but I agree. Mm-hmm. Andrew simply says, "Count Krelsky can reclaim the F slur." He gave it five stars. He was in this movie for a minute tops.
Hey, we didn't mention "I should have finished you in Budapest."
Oh, yeah, because every version of Van Helsing and Dracula he's implied to be Dracula, have to have some gay shit going on. And boy, do these two.
Yep. They have some gay shit going on.
The way that they fuck. Like, I'm sorry.
So nasty, too.
The way that they... someone needs to... I say someone. It's going to be me. Needs to write fan fiction about that.
Do
guys,
it.
Stay tuned for that before the end of the month, because I'll probably write that. Who's excited?
What happened in Budapest?
Their dicks touched. I'll tell you.
their penises kissed.
The penis is kissed. That's what happened. They were touching tips in Budapest. I'll tell you what.
okay, let's move on.
There's a reason why I always have to mark every episode of this podcast as explicit, and it's because we always end up here at some point. Sarah Drops said, "This kid is an e-boy." 2 stars.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. I don't like that one. It's true, but I don't like it.
CheesePuff 5000 says, "Well, I'm sure we're all thinking." Mm-hmm. Their mom had a date with a vampire. 0.5 star.
Fuck, dude. She sure did. Fuck, dude. She sure fucking did.
Mazen Kaiser said, "As an aging gay man, I want nothing more than to dork over rockabilly music with a store-bought Jerry Dandridge."
Oh my god.
Don't we all?
Don't we all?
And then, finally, I mean, this review, I want to reach out to this person and ask if they're okay after this.
Oh, that's my favorite kind.
Erica Marquis says, "I didn't know how to follow up Promising Young Woman, so I watched the 2000 Disney Channel original movie Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire." What a fucking double feature!
Are you okay?
Yeah, like, you understand now why I read that, and I was like, are you good?
I did run the gamut of Halloween monsters today, and I'll just leave it at that. You all can fill in the blank with what else I watched. Anyway.
We all know what the other one was.
We all know.
We know him. We love him.
We know him well.
I love him.
I don't. What if I just decided I did not fucking love this man anymore?
I mean, like, you spiritually are filling Jack Russell Marvel Comics like a Webkinz filled with milk and throwing him against the wall.
It's true. It's so true.
It's what you're doing to him.
Do they have a Webkinz wolf? Hold on. You can cut this all out.
I will not.
They do have a Webkinz wolf.
Okay, so you need to buy it, soak it in milk, and throw it at a wall.
Oh, there's one on here that looks so fucking scrunkly. Hold on. Let me send this to you. Let me send you this beast.
For the love of God, please.
Sorry, listeners. This is an aside you're all going to have to deal with. Look at this.
You signed up for this when you listened to this podcast. Oh, he's so scrungles.
Oh, I...
Can you buy him?
I think I have to buy him.
You have to buy him. Guys, you're witnessing a historic event.
He's $45.
Oh, that's too much. Don't buy
him.
That's
a lot. But, like...
You can find a Webkinz for cheaper.
Hey, Taylor, how much do you think shipping costs on this fine specimen?
$200.
No. Guess again.
I don't... okay. $5.
No. It's $4.20, baby! It's $4.20! It's the weed number! Oh, Jesus. Why do all of these look like they've been through the war? Hold on, I'm sending you this one. this is the last one, I promise.
This is the greatest tangent we've ever gone on this podcast. Oh!
Why does he look like... That doesn't even look like a wolf, it looks like a tiger.
That guy survived the liberation of France. Jesus Christ.
Oh god.
Okay. Sorry to this man. It says red wolf, but he does look like a tiger.
They're all so expensive. Why are they all so expensive? Probably because they don't sell them anymore.
They're Webkinz.
$145 for a Webkinz signature Timberwolf. Used, no code, smoke-free home, read description. Jesus That's Christ.
That's too much. That's too many dollars.
It's too many. It's too many fucking dollars to be spending on a fucking Webkinz in the year of our Lord 2023. $165.
And all for what? For Blurbo?
I'm not spending them. Oh my fucking God.
What?
I lied. I'm sending you one more. These all look like they've been through the fucking trenches. Okay. Last one. Then we get back to the podcast.
Oh! Oh, this one looks like he got sat on. So, this, not only once, but like 10 times. For like hours.
These all, at a time. I will, you know, I'll give it this. These all definitely look like Jack
Russell. Like Jack Russell?
This is exactly what he looks like.
I'm not, for the record, not cutting any of this.
Oh, good.
The listeners can fucking deal with it. You will listen to us having fun, and you will fucking like it, okay? That's what this... That's four! Oh, he's so... Why is he, like, shaped like the... Why is he shaped like a Pokemon who can't even say his own name? This Pokemon doesn't even know his own name.
Hey, $50 for this one.
It's still too many dollars.
$50 for this... stuffed animal that has, like, just been through the fucking war. Oh, man. Anyway.
I'm a little sad for him. He looks like he's been through trauma.
Oh, this is so good. This is good. This is good. Is this good content?
I think this is good content.
If you don't think this is good content, get out of my house. Oh, here's one that, like, looks the way it's supposed to. For comparison, here.
Okay, yeah, this one's normal. Yeah.
Okay, listeners, just fucking, if you want to have a good time, just go on ebay.com, type in Webkinz Wolf. You'll have a great time. Anyway, where were we in the podcast that we do when we're not talking about how Jack Russell looks like a fucked up Webkinz Wolf?
Well, I just finished doing Letterboxd reviews.
Okay. Star ratings. Star ratings, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I would give this 5 wolf banes out of 5. 5 squished wolf Webkinz out of 5. Because this movie fucking rules.
I will give it a solid 3.5. It's not my,
squished,
not my thing.
Squished wolf Webkinz?
Yes. Squished wolf Webkinz. Not my thing. Not the age demographic, but I had a good time watching it. I'd watch it again if somebody else wanted me to. Hell yeah.
Somebody. You mean me?
I would watch it again with you. Every day, Taylor. Every
you,
day.
You say that? You say that hey, we watch it.
Hey, Taylor. I think I need to remind you, we watched Something Wicked This Way Comes together.
Listeners, I've seen you. One day I've we seen will you. Do that on the podcast, and it will be this podcast's darkest day.
I will. I've seen you in some really dark-sided places. Okay, I've been in the wars with you. I've been like a Webkinz wolf with you.
Spiritually, when we are watching a movie with an evil dilf in it, you are a Webkinz wolf, and I'm smushing you, smushing you, smushing you.
Yep, you're soaking me in milk and throwing me against the wall.
Yeah, 100%. Hey, we have a normal podcast, and we have social media that you should follow.
Yes, we have a very normal podcast where we usually don't talk about Webkinz wolves, we promise. And you can follow, well, wait a minute, let's talk about what movie we're watching next time first.
Sure. Why don't we do that?
Yes, our very next on our very normal podcast where we promise, swear to God, we will not talk about Webkinz wolves ever again.
Bitch, I can't make that promise. You can make that promise. I fucking cannot.
Well, I can't promise not to talk about Webkinz wolves ever again because I'm always talking about a Webkinz wolf, really.
In your heart.
In my heart, and my soul. Anyway, next time we're watching another outing by our good friend Luca Guadagnino. We are watching the 2018 remake of Suspiria, and we will be joined, as we were for our episode on the first Suspiria, the original film. We will be joined by a friend of the pod, Meeks, to discuss that.
Unless something evil happens.
Don't jinx it, Taylor. Don't jinx it.
Because, I mean, anyone who's listened to this podcast since its inception knows November
is cursed.
November's a bad month for us.
It is. Historically speaking, Hot Witch November has not gone off, has never, like, once gone off without a hitch. There's always been a hitch.
Statistically speaking, 100% of the Bad Witch Novembers we've done on this pod have been interrupted by evils and curses.
It's either one of us gets sick or one of us has technical difficulties or something. God knows our fucking episode on the witch took blood, sweat, and tears to get out in a timely fashion. It was not on time, but it was in a timely fashion. Anyway, until then, to follow along, to see what kind of curses befall us this Hot Witch November, you can follow us at FGF Pod on Twitter, Instagram, Instagram, TikTok, maybe Tumblr one of these days, who fucking knows, with the way social media is going these days. And if you liked what we did here today, despite the long tangent about Webkinz wolves on eBay, you can give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, do whatever it is you need to do on your podcast platform of choice to let us know you enjoy what we did here today, and we will see you next time for Suspiria. Bye, everybody.
Bye.